John Walter is a DJ, campaigner, and social media pioneer. Some would say a legend, and others not quite so happy with his success in getting Rage Against the Machine to Christmas number one in 2009. He's busy again this Christmas, so let's find out about it. Hello, John.
Hello, Paul.
Good to speak to you again, John. Let's
Been a
go.
while, hasn't
It's, yeah, good. 10 years since we're just mentioning
it?
off
Oh,
air.
yeah,
10 years
goodness,
since you're in the
yeah.
studio. So good to have you back on. We'll try not make it 10 years next time. Let's go back to the beginning. I mean, what inspired you in the first place to use the internet to create a message in the music industry? We're going to go back decades now, aren't we?
Well, maybe just a decade and a bit, not decades quite yet, but we're not that far off, are we? Let's be honest. So I when this whole social media explosion happened, I jumped feet first into it, really. And I kind of just tried to see what I could do, and I just thought it was incredible. Things like Facebook groups, such a brilliant tool, and the power that Twitter had at the time, and I just sort of got stuck into it and got really interested in it. And I was also interested in obviously in music and that and the music industry. I was trying knocking on the door to get into the music industry, and no one had let me in. So I sort of tried to marry the two together because I thought not many others seem to be doing this yet, and that's kind of where it started really. And then I worked out about the charts and the chart rules, and I'm a failed musician, Paul. I was a terrible musician when I was a younger and a teenager. I
Oh,
still
join
am. I can't do it
the
for love nor money. And I wanted to have a big hit single, and it never happened. And then I just sort of worked out, whoa, hang on a minute. I could tie all these things together and give it a try. Why not? For a bit of fun,
And this year, we haven't even mentioned what you're doing this year, but you're starting a campaign to try and get the ELO classic Mr. Blue Sky as this year's Christmas number one. So what is the inspiration behind that?
Well, again, it's a bit of fun, right? That's just a bit of fun. A lot of people love getting involved with these. And since I did my first one, what was it, 2008 for Rick Astley? Goodness me. It's just every year. It's just something that every year without fail, I get a lot of people in my inbox sort of saying, let's do this, let's do that. And so this year, Blue Sky, the app Blue Sky has rocketed, has just gone next level, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's so well done. Without getting too deep into it, but it's a really good way of connecting with people, and it's what certain other apps should have been, let's be honest, but we won't go there. But anyway, so Blue Sky's kicked off really well, and I by chance heard ELO Mr. Blue Sky in my car on the radio, because I listen to radio. I do listen to radio, guys, and I just thought, cool, I think this might do well recently, because also the band have just announced that they're finishing. That's it. Next year, that's it. That's the last gigs, and then they're done. And you know how my brain cogs work, Paul. So I just put the two together and thought, hang on, this could do quite well actually. And again, it could be a bit of fun for a lot of people. It might work, it might not. And so I put a post up on Blue Sky to say, what do you lot think? Do you think this might work? And the response was phenomenal. It was just crazy. And I thought, right, okay then. Well, it looks like we're doing something. Let's have a go, So yeah, it was kind of a happy accident how this kind of came about, if I'm honest with you. It wasn't immensely hugely planned, but it sort of presented itself, and I thought, well, it'd be a bit of fun, wouldn't it? Let's have a go. Let's have a
Right
go.
place, right time, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine you're up against a lot of other campaigns trying to get their single to number one. So what do you do that's different without giving away too many of your secrets? What do you do that's different to use community engagement, social media to rally that support?
Cool, that would give secrets away. No, look, I mean, I think being persistent is quite a key thing, which one thing I've noticed over the years, and it still happens from big record labels as well, where they'll put out a song, or they'll put out a track and going, right, we're going to try and get this charting at Christmas time. But then it's like putting it out into the ether, and then they almost forget about it, and they might go back in a couple of days and say something, or they might go back and post another thing. Social doesn't work like that anymore. You can't just post things and expect people to come to you going, yeah, cool, we're in, let's do this. You've got to go and get them. You've got to go and find these people. You've got to go and comment on what they're doing. You've got to, it's much more interactive and than it used to be. And one thing I've always tried to do is just make sure that people feel involved and they're part of something. They're part of a movement, or they're part of we're doing this because of this, and we're doing that because of that. You have to have a reason why you're doing it. You can't just say, well, because it's a good song. So, well, yeah, great. There's loads of good songs out there, but that have never charted at Christmas time. But you have to have a reason, you know. Even if it's something like this, where it's like, well, Blue Skies. Everyone, loads of people are going to the Blue Sky app, and this track's called Mr. Blue Sky, and ELO are retiring, so it'd be a good retirement present, you know. Even that has got something to aim for, to be part of, you know. So that's something I always say to people whenever I've been involved with either giving them tips or just trying to help them a little bit. You have to have a reason. Just by saying, just because it's a brilliant song and it didn't get number one last time, that's not good enough. And unfortunately, I do see a lot that are still in that mindset, and that's why they don't work.
Now, you've had success with Killing in the Name in 2009 and Justice Collective 2012 as well, wasn't it? And
Yes,
I mean, what obviously you did a lot right. Was there anything that
yes.
you were doing that was wrong that you thought, oh, that just didn't work, we won't try that again?
Oh yeah, I've worked with loads of campaigns that have bombed badly. Let's say that, you know, you think, oh, this could do quite well, and it doesn't. You mentioned the Justice Collective. So for those unaware, that was the where we were raising money for the families of the Hillsborough disaster. They hadn't had justice in 25 years, and it was decided, well, that's enough's enough. How can we get this in front of the public so that we can have them on our side to say, look, enough's enough. At the same time, exactly the same year, I was asked to work with Rod Stewart, Universal Music Group. We're like, yeah, we're going to get Rod Stewart, his latest single out there at Christmas. Can you help? And they almost pretty much gave me an open checkbook for Facebook ads and things to sort of just get this to work. And sometimes it's you just don't know, because we put a lot of money into the Rod Stewart campaign. And but do you know how much advertising money we had for the Justice Collective? £100. That's all we could. That's
Wow.
literally what we had, right? And so I thought that the Justice Collective was gonna. I thought that would do quite well. I thought, if we get top 20 or top 10, that would be brilliant. That'd be really, really good result. And it was the other way around. That went to number one. I worked on that, went to number one. Rod Stewart's single, I don't even think we hit the top 40. Just couldn't get anywhere near it. Everything that could have gone wrong with that went wrong. So sometimes you can't, you know, the general public will like what they like, and they won't like what they won't like. And sometimes you cannot, you can't bank that. Do you know what I mean? You just have to kind of put it out there and see what happens. So yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've been lucky. Couple of Christmas number ones. We helped get a Rolling Stones album to number one, and that was wonderful. And AC/DC, I got to work with. I'm a big AC/DC fan, so I've got some really good ones. Sales chart number one for Stuart Lee, but there is quite a few that just didn't work for love nor money, just wouldn't work. So it is a bit of luck, you know. There is certainly luck in it. You can't as long as you've got what they say, your ducks in a row, that's all you can do. And if people want to go and get into it, great. If they don't, there's nothing you can do. Sometimes you can have all the money in the world. So, yeah.
Do you think the charts have still got the same cultural significance as they did in the past? Because I know a lot of people, maybe my age, a little bit older, say, oh, the charts are rubbish. They don't mean anything anymore. But they obviously mean something to someone, don't they?
Well, I think the charts. Well, for our age, yeah, I suppose our age, we're supposed to say that, aren't we? We're supposed to play the charts were rubbish now, you know, all that. So I can kind of understand that, really. But no, look, I mean, the charts, I think for older generations meant a bit more, because you had Top of the Pops every week, didn't you? And you didn't have a million channels and podcasts and all that. You had to watch what was there, and the charts were a big thing in the 70s, 80s, 90s. It was big. Is it as culturally big now? I would argue probably not, but does it still have a part to play? Absolutely, yeah. I think it, to know what the most popular stuff is at the time, if the official chart weren't there, someone else would make one. And you've got places like the Spotify's of this world, Deezer, all of those, they'll have their own chart that will just become the culturally main one. So there will always be something there, and the official chart is the one. It's still the one that you check on and stuff. And I certainly do. I've always been a bit of a chart geek, and I like to know who's in there, even if half of them I've never heard of. But that's cool. But also with streaming, because streaming now has got a big part to play in the charts. It has changed how it works, which is why at Christmas time, to be honest with you, so if you just so you're aware, when George Michael sadly died, we did a campaign for Last Christmas. We said, come on, let's get Last Christmas there. It deserves it after all these years. Took a few years, but it worked last year. It worked. Like, yay. And I can see now where it's going to be just Christmas hits all the time at Christmas because of streaming. And I personally, I think streaming's got a bit too much of an influence on the charts. I think they need to tweak it a little bit, but I still think it's culturally significant. Absolutely, I do.
So we've got a chance now to get a non-Christmas record at number one, haven't we? So
That's the thing, and that you see, we laugh about that, but genuinely, I think that will become a thing. Because of the current rules of the charts, every year is going to be a Christmas song, and it's not just going to be a Christmas song, it's going to be an old classic one. So it will be the Pogues, it will be Mariah Carey, it will be Wham, and I think it's going to get to a stage where you're going to get a not necessarily a backlash, but I think you'll get to a point where it's like, come on, let's get a different song to Christmas number one. Maybe one that isn't an old Christmas song. Whereas if you remember about 10 years ago, that's all we wanted. So yeah, it changes all the time, you know.
So how can fans, supporters, followers, how can they get involved to get Mr. Blue Sky to the top spot?
Well, okay, so we've created a Facebook page because, well, why not? That's what I've been doing for the last time immemorial. I think it's Mr. Blue Sky of Christmas number one. There's also a Blue Sky account, of course, because that's where it started. And if you happen to be on Blue Sky, just type ELO Mr. Blue Sky or Christmas number one. It's all there. There's a feed. We created a feed for it, so you can actually sign to the feed, and any mentions of it, you'll see it in one feed, so you can see all the other people that are getting involved. So it's all there. Not on any other apps at the moment. We haven't put it on the Bird app because we thought, well, why should we? This is what this song's about in a way. So So that's where you can find it at the moment. As with any of my campaigns, it's never had a website. I don't think I've ever had a website for any of them, and this probably won't either. So yeah, come and find it on social.
So for now, spread the words, but you don't want people to buy the song now because they got to buy it at a certain time to make
No,
Christmas number
don't
one.
get it yet. There's always that's the one thing that happens every single year. You'll get people that will go, yeah, I'm in, I've just gone and bought it. And you're like, no, not yet. So if it counts the Christmas chart, it has to be purchased. If you buy a download or stream it between the Friday the 13th, that's the way to remember it this year, because it's Friday the 13th is when the Christmas chart starts, funnily enough, to Thursday the 19th. So 13th to the 19th. Any time between that 7 days, any purchases, any streams will all count towards that Christmas chart.
Well, we're going to do a little bit, already a small radio station, but we're going to be playing it regularly, and our presenters are going to be mentioning the campaign as well. So we'll see what we can do to help push it. John, always great to talk to you, and we're going to keep an eye and, fingers crossed that we actually make the top spot. I'm definitely up for a non-Christmas song at Christmas number one this year, and you picked a great one. So yeah, we're definitely supporting you.
Great stuff. Thank you.